I had talked to Pastor Tardo, and I was 100% sure I was going to be doing a couple of messages on divine healing. Just knew it. And been studying on it, got a pile of notes on it. And for the last 4 days, I woke up, and the Holy Spirit's like, no, David, I want you to specifically teach on this. Day one, I was like, nope, divine healing. Day two, divine healing. I'm telling my wife, I'm doing divine healing. Day three, is I told her, okay, I got to change this. Day four, there's not a doubt in my mind that I know what the Lord wants me to share with you guys. So I believe I have a word for you, but I need you to do something for me. I need you to prepare the soil of your hearts. Soil, however you want to say it. Soil. Prepare the soil, however you say it in this region. I need you to prepare the soil of your hearts. You know, when I was a kid, my dad took me outside in the backyard, and he taught me how to garden. He showed me this just patch of grass. He gave me a hoe, a rake, a shovel, and some seeds. And he told me, here's what I want you to do. And he showed me how to dig up the grass and get all the grass off and get the weeds out. And he showed me how to dig up with a shovel, no tillers, a shovel and a hoe. And I dug up all the big patch of ground. And he taught me something by doing that. He taught me that there is value in having rich, prepared soil. And so Jesus even talked about that. So in Matthew 13, if you would turn there with me, Matthew 13, verse 18, and I'm going to go ahead and start reading because it might take me a couple of hours tonight to get through this message. So, but maybe by 9 o'clock we wrap up. Amen. Sister Rebecca's here. I got to make sure she gets her money's worth. Amen. Matthew 13:18. So he had gave the parable of the soil and the seeds and the sower. And this is what he said, Matthew 13:18. He said, hear you therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. So Matthew 18, he said, this is he which receives seed by the wayside. So Matthew 13, 18, and 19, Jesus said, if you sow seed on hard ground, you will not get a harvest. You won't get anything. You'll have some dried up seeds. And this is what he said. Hear ye therefore the word of the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, what is that talking about? Is that the seed? The seed is the word of God. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, you're hearing seed. You're getting seed that's sown by the sower. I guess I'm the sower tonight. I guess I'm the former. And the Holy Spirit's given me some seed to sow. But guess what? He also said, and understand it not, then comes the wicked one. I wonder who that could be. It's not your mother-in-law. I shouldn't have said that. So I love my mother-in-law. She's wonderful. Then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. So the sower is broadcasting seed, sowing seed, and that seed is getting sown in the heart. Your heart is the soil. Your heart is where the seed is being sown. And so then he says, well, if the seed is sown on a heart that is not prepared for the seed won't do any good. So, why am I telling you this? Because you need to have good soil of your hearts tonight. I need you to be ready for the word tonight, because I'm ready to sow some seed. And I need you to be ready to prepare to take this seed. Let that seed let it sink deep into your heart, because here's what I'm believing over the next couple of weeks. I'm believing God for something. I'm believing God for a move of God. Is that too much to believe for? I'm seriously believing God for a move of God. Do you know what today is? July the 8th. 2026 is the anniversary, I think, of a very important event. I believe Jonathan Edwards preached his sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, on July 8th. I believe. You can fact check me and make sure that's right. But if that's true, on this day, revival broke out in America, in the colonies. Why can't it break out tonight? Why can't it break out in Faithful Word Assembly? Why can't we get our miracles that we're praying for? Why can't people be healed in this house? I was going to preach on divine healing. God says, you know what? I want you to expand this a little bit. So this is what I'm going to be talking about for the next couple of weeks. I'm going to just go ahead and tell you, because if you don't come next week, I'm just going to talk about you like a dog. I'm like, you knew Rusty wasn't preaching and you didn't show up because I was preaching. I know that's why you didn't come. So now you're on the hook. Everybody that's here, you're on the hook to come. So he said, hearing the word is sowing seeds. And you broadcasting those seeds are going into the heart. So let's have some good soil tonight. Because he said, when those seeds are sown on good soil, then you get that hundredfold return. Then you get that 30, 60, 100-fold return. So what I want to do tonight is I'm going to go back to my roots of my dad taking me out in the backyard. And I'm going to begin to work the soil of your hearts and prepare you for what God wants to do. Because life is something else. Life will find a way to get so much junk in the soil of your heart to where you get stony ground in your heart. You have hardened soil in your hearts. I'm not going to start walking. I'm going to stay right here. Did you fact check me, brother?
Yeah, it was July 8th. Do you remember?
Look at that. July 8th.
Bonus question. What year?
Oh, I ain't going all that far, brother. You're taking it too far now. 1741.
Woo.
Yesterday. So, Pastor, you can't be stirring up trouble back there. Your sister Diane, keep him from stirring up Glenn back there.
Oh, I'm innocent.
So, here's what we're going to do. We're going to embark on the next couple of weeks, and we're going to prepare our hearts to see what God wants to do and what God wants to teach us and tell us. And basically, I'm just going to be reminding you of some things. And as I remind you, I want you to use these reminders to help you defeat the giants in your life. I'm going to be talking about defeating your giants. Defeating your giants. Defeating your giants. Anybody in here ever have giants in their life? So there's a couple of things I need you to remember about giants. If you will, turn to 1 Samuel 17. 4 days or 5 days, I can't remember, in a row, I woke up, 1 Samuel 17, David and Goliath, ringing in my heart, ringing in my ears. So here we are, 1 Samuel 17, 1. 1 Samuel 17, 1. We're going to get just some reminders about how to defeat your giant as we go through 1 Samuel 17. Verse 1, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Socoh, which belongs to Judah, and pitched between Socoh and Azekah at Ephes-Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. So you have, now I haven't gone to Israel, but I did, really did sleep at a Holiday Inn Express one time. And I did do some research. And so these are not mountains like you will see Colorado mountains. They're really just big giant hills. And so you have this army, Israel's army, on this giant hill, and you have the Philistines on this giant hill across from them, and you have this valley in the middle, a very green, lush, beautiful valley in the middle. And so I was thinking about this. Israel came prepared to fight the battle. These men, Saul and his army, Joab, his army, they all came, and they were ready to fight the battle. And you have the Philistines came, and they were ready to fight the battle. But I have a theory. This is not something that I know. It's just a theory. I believe Israel was ready to fight, and they were going to win that battle, hands down. Hands down. I believe Saul's army was ready. And I believe that's why the giant came, because he was a distraction. I believe the Philistines knew they were going to lose. They knew they couldn't beat Israel. So let me bring a big old 9-foot-tall distraction. That's my theory. And we'll see if I can at least put a couple of bullet points to kind of prove that theory. So in verse 3, and the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them, and there went out a champion. Now, it's funny that they say this, because they didn't send anybody out to fight the battle, to go and distract the Israelites. There went out a champion. You don't get the term champion by accident. You don't just walk up and say, hey, my name is David, and I'm the pro wrestling champion of Louisiana. Would you believe me? No. Sister Phyllis, you said no too fast. Don't I look like a... Anyway, so you just can't walk up and claim to be a champion. This guy was a champion by right, and there went a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, or he was somewhere between 8, 8.5, 9, 9.5 feet tall. I don't care if it's 8 feet only, that's a big boy. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. He pretty much went and found a sledgehammer, sharpened to put a point on a sledgehammer, and made that for his spearhead. And one bearing a shield went before him. So here's Goliath, 8.5, 9.5 feet tall, carrying 150, 200, 250 pounds of armor. And then he has so many weapons, he has to have his shield bearer carry the shield for him because he's just loaded up, ready to destroy anything that gets in his way. And so here he is. You have Israel's army, Philistine army, the valley in the middle. And so he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Why are you here to fight like an army? Why is your army here to fight our army? Am not I a Philistine? In other words, you want to fight somebody, fight me. Am not I a Philistine? And you servants of Saul, choose you a man and let him come down to me. Don't you just hate it when giants show up out of nowhere? Just out, you eating a bowl of cereal, sitting on your couch. I like Lucky Charms. Sitting on your couch, eating a bowl of Lucky Charms. And a giant shows up out of nowhere. The Israel army, they knew they could whoop the Philistines. They were ready, minding their own business. And all of a sudden, here you go. They go to the mailbox, open the mailbox, and there's a giant in the mailbox. It's called bills, or you've been denied this college or this credit. Your insurance renewal letter's in the mail. You're minding your own business and you're going for a routine checkup to your doctor, and the giant shows up when the doctor sits down to look at your results. You're getting dressed for a normal day at work, and you go to work, and you pass by your boss's office, and there's a giant sitting in his office that's saying, you know what? You no longer have a job. Giants show up at the craziest times. When you don't expect them, they just show up. You get married, and a year later, you're at the table, your wife's at the table eating supper, and there's a giant sitting in the middle of you. A giant called divorce. A giant called mistrust. A giant called separation. Giants come, and they just show up, and I hate when giants show up. But they show up at the craziest, worst times that you could ever imagine. Every person in this room has heard the voice of Goliath. All of us have. All of us have. And that voice calls out, hey, your marriage is over. Come down to me. Hey, you're sick in your body. Come down to me. That voice calls out to us, and it has the same effect on us that it had on the Israel army. Your giant knows what to say. It knows what buttons to push, the fear button. It already knows which buttons to push. Oh, there's David down there. His fear button is right there. Watch this. Oh, my God, the giant is here. But there are some principles in the Word of God that can prepare us not just to face the giant, but to defeat the giants. There are principles in God's word that we are going to start learning as soon as right now. That's going to give you some confidence to stand there and say, you know what, giant? Yeah, you knocking on my door, but you know what? I'm not running this time. I'm not getting in fear this time. Boy, I can see in the spirit, like that farmer digging up that farmland. I can just already see those hearts, that soil getting ready. I can see expectation of that soil getting ready. Are you ready to learn what we can do to face those giants?
Amen.
All right. Here is the first reminder. The first reminders. Your giant will always invite you to come down to his level. Army on this hill on the right, army on this hill on the left. Giant comes down to the valley and he says, send me a man to come down to me, to come down. Leave your vantage point. Leave your place of security. Leave your place, Israel. You're stronger than us right now. I don't think we can beat you today. Leave your place of victory. And you come down and play in my neighborhood. You cannot defeat your giants in the flesh, faithful word. You cannot defeat your giants in the flesh. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. You're not strong enough. You're not big enough. You're not bad enough. You're not smart enough to beat your giant in the flesh. You can't do it. You know why you can't do it? Because you're not big enough, bad enough, strong enough, or smart enough to do it. That's why you can't do it. When you come down to your giant's level, you lose. And that's why so many times we don't get the answer. We don't see the manifestation. We stand in fear when we pray because we're praying not just in faith, but we're facing the giant in the natural, in the flesh, trying to figure it all out. 1 Samuel 17:8, this is what the giant said. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and you servants of Saul? Choose you a man and let him come down to me. Israel was in a good place on their hill. And you're in a good place when you don't go down to the giant when he calls. This is when the giant calls. Here's what the giant is saying. Hey, David, come down to me because I want you to get mad at this situation. Get in the flesh, David. Fight this in the flesh. Get mad. Get angry. David, you know what you should do? You should reach way back in your past. I know it's been a long time, but you should even cuss a little bit on this one. That's what giants say. Now, I don't listen, but that's what giants say. Some of you laughing because you give in to the giant. The giant says, come down to me because we're going to walk in fear and dread together. Come down to me. Come play in my neighborhood. And we say, I can fix this. I can figure this out. I got this. Amen. And we're in the flesh and we lose. Do you know, like Israel was on that hill with their army ready to fight and win this battle, they were in a place of victory. That's what the giant is telling you. He's saying, Christian, church, I want you to come from your place of victory, get in the flesh, and we're going to deal with this in the flesh together. That's what the giant says. You say, how do you say that? Let me show you something. Ephesians 2:4. Let me read this to you. Ephesians 2:4 says this, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Ephesians 2:6, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you realize we're not striving for a place of victory? We're already there. In Jesus, we are in our victory. He is our victory. And when we're in Christ, we are in a place of victory. We're in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm getting excited. My voice is getting high. We are in a place of victory. This is what Matthew, turn to Matthew 28:18. We are fighting from a place of victory. I need you to remember that tonight. We are fighting from a place of victory. We have the victory on our side. And the giant said, I want you to come down. Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, to his disciples. He's telling us, he says, all exousia, people pronounce it different ways, all exousia, all authority, he says, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All authority. What does all mean? How often does all mean all?
All the time.
All the time. All means all the time. If all means all the time, Jesus says, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Oh, it's not just in heaven. It's on earth too. So Jesus has authority in heaven at the right hand of the Father and in this room right now.
Amen.
And in the living rooms of those watching online.
Amen.
Wow, Jesus has some authority. I wish he would have gave me some of that. Huh. He took all his authority to heaven with him. He could have left me a little bit behind. Oh, he did, brother? Oh, well, that must be that next verse, Luke 10:19. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give unto you exousia. I give you, church, I give you in this room, I give you authority. He said, Luke 10:19, behold, this is one of the first scriptures I learned when I got saved and got filled with the Spirit. Luke 10:19. Because I thought, wait a minute, are you telling me that I have that Jesus kind of authority? He said, behold, I give unto you power, exousia, authority, to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I like the way this one version says it. This is how one version says it. Now, you understand that I have imparted to you all my authority to trample over his kingdom. You will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. Absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in this authority. Do you realize you have authority? I think there's some stones in this soil that I'm trying to plant this seed in. You have authority. Every single Christian within the sound of my voice, you have authority. Luke 10:19 says you don't just have authority, you have authority to trample, to walk on your problems, to walk on your issues and situations and quirkiness that you've been fighting for 10 years. You have authority. Do y'all believe the word tonight?
Yes.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Well, good. We have authority. We have that state trooper kind of authority. What happens when you're driving down the road and you see lights behind you and you see it's a state trooper and you say, "Woohoo, this is my lucky day. I don't care where you are in Louisiana. I don't care if you are in Monroe, Shreveport, New Orleans, Alexandria, Lafayette, Baton Rouge, Lake Charles. I don't care where you are in Louisiana. When you see that state trooper and he pulls you over, he has authority across this entire state. Can you imagine that state trooper? He pulls this car over. There's this guy sitting in a car. And he says, "Sir, I need to see your driver's license and your registration." And the guy in the car says, "Nope, I'm not giving you that. Are you crazy? I tell you what, state trooper, I tell you what we're going to do. You come down to my level and then I'll talk to you." And so the state trooper says, "You know what? I'm going to come down to you." And he takes off his body cam. He takes off his gun, takes off his belt, takes off his radio, his taser, and everything the state has issued him because he has authority. He starts stripping it all off: his shoes, state-issued shoes, state-issued shirt, state-issued pants. And this guy is standing there with a T-shirt and some Tweety Bird shorts on. What do you think the bad guy's gonna say? "You look so stupid. I don't respect you at all. You have no authority," and he's gonna drive off. Now, isn't that a dumb story? That's what Christians do. Every day, we're given authority, and the devil says, "Hey, you got authority. Hey, I tell you what, you got all that authority, but won't you come down to my level?" And we start stripping off the name of Jesus, the word of God, the armor of God. We just start stripping down and we stand there with Tweety Bird shorts on. And we're wondering why we're not seeing the answer. We're wondering why we're walking in depression, wondering why our homes are tore up from the floor up. Because you're stripping yourself of your authority by not standing in your authority and walking in your authority, claiming your authority, and doing something about the giant.
That's right,
yeah. Let me take it a little up a notch. Not my voice, my example. Let's take it up a notch. What about U.S. Marshals? These are some bad boys. All 50 states. You come across a U.S. Marshal anywhere in this country, he has authority to take your stuff if you're doing a federal crime. He can arrest you without a warrant. This guy's bad to the bone. U.S. Marshals are bad to the bone. I don't care if you're in California, Florida, Louisiana. I don't care where you are. You come across a U.S. Marshal and you're breaking the federal law. He doesn't have to say, "Hey, Judge, I got somebody here. I need a warrant." Nope. He's like, "Come here, buddy. You're under arrest." Anywhere in the country, that's authority. Let me take it up a little bit. You want to know about authority? Let me tell you about some authority. Now, listen at this one. There's a group of people in our country that when they speak the name of Jesus, I don't care where they are, that name just breaks the demon's strongholds wherever they are. When they speak that name, they have the authority to break the devil's stronghold, see people's lives changed, see people healed, see people delivered. They have authority. Do you know you can take that same person that's called a Christian, put them on a rocket, send them to the moon, and if they're orbiting the moon and they speak the name of Jesus, they have the same authority. Now that's authority. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about you. Man, that's some authority. You mean to tell me if I'm in Brazil, if I'm in Iraq, Iran, the United States, Mexico, wherever I am, Africa, wherever I am, if I speak the name of Jesus, I have authority? This beautiful young lady reminds me of something. My wife and I were youth pastors a long time ago. And we began to work with our youth group, and we began to travel and go to different churches with this youth group. And we had people, her age, how old are you, my dear?
Nine.
Boy, if I was nine again, woo! Hallelujah. Anyway, 9 years old. We had people 9 years old, 10 years old, 12 years old. And you know what they would do when we would go and travel? They would lay hands on the sick and people would get healed right there on the spot. Those people, those kids had authority and they used that authority. They used it and we saw it work. Brother Dave, you got your microphone, brother. I want you to tell a story. Brother Dave told me about aliens and the name of Jesus. Yeah. Can you tell about that, Brother Dave?
Yeah, there's a video hanging on the wall out there called Alien Intrusion, and so you can go get it and watch it. But when a person claims they've been taken on board a UFO, usually it doesn't just happen one time. It happens to them over and over and over again. So the people making this video got to talking to a lot of them. Some of them became Christians. And the next time they perceived that the aliens were coming back for them, they were scared. And they said, Jesus! And these aliens would screech and vanish. Okay, so why would somebody that flew across the galaxy be afraid of the name of a Jewish carpenter who never even left Palestine?
Because they had authority. There's so much authority, even E.T. has to give in to the name of Jesus. E.T. is an old movie that was, I don't know, extraterrestrial. You probably didn't see it because you're not that old. What point am I trying to make? Y'all talk to me for a second. What point am I trying to make tonight? Amen, brother. You know what? You must have been digging up that saw of that heart.
I got a couple of holes.
You digging it up, breaking up that saw. Yes, indeed. We have authority. And when the giant says, come down, we got to quit going down. Oh, I got a few more minutes. Well, I'm right on time. I thought this would be, wow. I thought I would be here for 2 hours, but I'm almost through. Do you know the devil tried that old trick several times before with other people? He tried it with Nehemiah. Hey, Nehemiah, you building that wall. Why don't you come down? Come on down, Nehemiah, and talk to us. Sanballat, Tobiah. Nehemiah, we know you're busy doing God's work, but come down with us. Come get on our level. He tried with Jesus. You know what he told Jesus? You don't want that cross. That's the last thing you want. You know what? If you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all this stuff. You don't have to go to that cross. Right. Come down, Jesus. Come down. You know what else he told him? Hanging on the cross. You know what they told the Lord? If you're the Son of God, I'll tell you what you do. Come down from the cross. Come down. I know you're hanging even on the cross. The Lord said, you're not taking my life. I'm giving my life. I still have the victory, even in death. And the enemy said, I got to get you out of that place of victory. Come down from the cross. Thank God he didn't come down from the cross. Whoo, thank you, Jesus. He didn't come down. And you know what? Because he didn't come down, you know what Philippians 2:8 says? Philippians 2:8 says this, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Amen. But listen to what he says. Wherefore now God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. What is the name of your giant? No, what's the name of your giant? Jesus is our giant. He's the biggest giant. When we call that name, there is no bigger name. There is no higher name. But what giant is knocking on your door? What is his name? What's the giant? And I'm not saying you don't have to say it, but whatever the name is not bigger or stronger or more powerful, or it doesn't carry as much authority as the name of Jesus. Philippians 2:10 says that at the name of Jesus, even UFOs will bow their knee. Every knee will bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There is no higher name.
Amen.
There is no higher name. So what name are you fighting with? Whatever it is, here's the last thing I want to tell you. So how do we use this authority? How do we use this authority? That's what you're asking. That's what I would be asking. If you would turn to Matthew chapter 8. I'm having such a good Holy Ghost time, I could just do a happy dance right now. I'm not Brooks, but I'm just saying I could. If I knew how, I could. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, Lord, I need your attention. Jesus, I need to talk to you. I need you. Matthew 8, 6. And saying, Lord, my servant lies at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. In other words, his servant was paralyzed and in terrible pain. And Jesus said to him, now would you love to hear these words from the Lord? Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Woo! Okay, come on, Lord. Woo, woo, taxi. Come here. Me and Jesus about to take a ride. Take me to my house. That's not what he said. He said, and Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only. Speak the word only. And so he tells him to speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Now, listen at this. Let's go on. For I am a man under exousia. I am a man under authority. So he's saying, I report to somebody. There is somebody who has authority over me. And having soldiers over me, I have a place of authority. And when I say to a man, go, guess what that man does? He better go, because he's under my authority. And I say to another one, come here. What does he do? He comes. Why? Y'all talk to me. Why? Because he's under their authority. Because if I say go, you report to me. You better go. And to my servants, do this. And what do they do? Why? Because they're under his authority. You see, this guy fully understood authority. Because when his boss told him to do something, he would do it because he was under authority. And when the people under him, he told them to do something, they would do it because they were under his authority. And he knew Jesus had authority. And he said, Lord, you have authority. And if you speak the word, speak the word, speak the word, speak the word, speak the word. If you speak the word, my servant will be healed, because Jesus, you have authority. And when you speak the word, things happen. Stuff changes. People are healed. Disease goes. Criminals have to change and get saved. Unsaved knucklehead loved ones get saved. When you speak the word, because he said, I say to one go, and he goes. I say to one come. I say something. Y'all need to start saying something.
Amen.
We all need to start saying something. Amen. When the giant comes and gives you that report, you need to start saying something. Because you have authority. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in all of Israel. And Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as thou hast believed, so it be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in that self same hour. When you're facing your giants in life, we've got to remember this. We're not trying to fight for a place of victory and authority. We're fighting from a place of victory and authority. Use your God-given authority to speak to your giant. Stay in your place of authority and watch and see if the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the junk that's been on you for months and weeks and years won't begin to fall off you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, tonight that the soil of these hearts has been plowed up. And all the weeds that the enemy, the giants, have planted have been plucked up by the roots in the name of Jesus. And Lord, tonight, I take authority over fear and doubt and unbelief. I take authority over those voices that the giants have been speaking to your people in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that your word tonight would sink, that seed would sink deep into the hearts of your people. That the seed would begin to grow and take deep, deep, deep roots in the heart of your people. And I pray in the name of Jesus tonight, Lord, that as that seed grows, Father, that we will begin, each and every one of us, will begin to speak the word only. Yeah. We're not going to confess what the people are saying about us. We're not going to confess what all the junk is going on. We're not going to confess how we feel. We're not going to confess what we see. We're speaking the word only. That's going to be our confession, Father God. Father, I pray over the next couple of weeks, Lord God, that you would just drill these words deep into our hearts. Yeah. Lord, if the enemy comes and tries to steal the word, I pray that we would immediately begin to speak victory in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If